Hey, what is going on, Clippers fans? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, usually joined by William the Opinion Updike, but this episode he is unavoidably detained. So we are welcoming Brian Cullen of the Clip Set podcast. Brian, how the hell are you?
I appreciate it. I thought we discussed that I was going to be Brian the Judgment Cullen.
Well, all right, we'll recut this. Thank you so much for hopping on. Brian hosts the Clip Set podcast. The current podcast you're listening to is Locked On Clippers. We come at you 3 days a week in the off season, but we're ramping up to 5 days a week at the end of this month. We're really excited for that. We come out at 7 a.m. Every day that there's a podcast. Today, we're going to be talking the freshies because it is Monday. We're going to get Brian's thoughts on the new guys. Third center watch has now become fourth center watch, which is overwhelming and equally exciting. We're also going to be talking Brian's season expectations. We've had a lot of discussions about what a successful season for the Clippers means on this pod. So we're going to get Brian's takes on that. And then in the third segment, which we're all excited for, we're getting Brian's hottest takes for the 2021 season. Noted lunatic Brian Cullen has some interesting views on the Clippers. So we're going to get those later. But yeah, let's get right into it. We're talking the freshies. These are the new Clippers. We got to talk the third center watch, which is now fourth center watch. Clippers blogger favorite Isaiah Hartenstein is here. He turned down a Warriors workout offer to sign and compete for the big man spot that opened right now with Giles. What do you see happening with this third center battle, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, they both have, I think they're both non-guaranteed, right? Like Hartenstein isn't even really a contract. It was an invitation to training camp, I believe.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, I Joseph and I on Clipset had been talking about potential targets for that third center position. And both of these guys were on our list of who we would like the Clippers to take a look at. Hartenstein is a guy that, you know, he's a rim running big.
Yeah. Young, 23.
Yeah. Giles, he's had some injury concerns in the past, but has like some really nice upside. He's shown some nice passing. You know, it's kind of fun to watch the Clippers kind of create this competition at training camp and see who they want to get for this spot. And, you know, given that Serge just had back surgery, you know, it was a ACL, I believe, for Zubats, or was it MCL?
I think it was an MCL sprain, I want to say. Yeah.
So, you know, there's some injuries there. So it's not like these guys are potentially whoever gets this third big spot, you know, we'll just collect dust. Like there's a very high chance that we're going to see, especially, you know, with Serge being a little bit older, wanting to keep him fresh for, you know, a potential playoff run, all of that stuff. There's potential minutes here for these guys and creating a little bit of a competition there to see, you know, who best fits what they're looking for a guy that is likely going to see minutes in the regular season. You know, it's definitely something I'm keeping a very close eye on as soon as training camp comes out, preseason, you know, who they choose and what kind of system they want to run with these guys.
Who do you see being that third center? Because right now, based on the limited, you know, basically just speculation that we have, I think it's Hartenstein. He doesn't, I'm worried about Giles's health. Hartenstein is even younger than Giles. There's a defensive issue with both of these guys. So I think that's a wash. Like neither of these guys is going to be a defensive stalwart for the Clippers in that third center position. And historically it hasn't been. So I think availability might put Hartenstein over Giles.
Yeah, I think I take Hartenstein as well. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, who was the third center at the end of last season, he had some great moments in the playoffs. But with a guy like that, you have to feed him. Otherwise there's nothing else going on. And he's not as quick as one of these younger guys, especially in Hartenstein, who we know can get to the rim. He can be the big in, you know, pick and roll situations. I lean him just a little more because of that athleticism. Availability is also, you know, something the Clippers, they traded Patrick Beverley essentially for availability.
Yeah.
I think that they're really coveting that this season. And with big guys, you know, unfortunately they don't tend to age as well as, you know, a wing or a guard. And so when you're, you know, trying to pad your roster with these positions, I think you have to kind of value youth when you're looking at big guys, and there's a bunch of big guys in the league. Right. And so get a young guy, see what you can get out of them. And I think Hartenstein gives you a little more of that athleticism that you would want to see with, you know, say like a Bledsoe running a pick and roll, or even with a PG, there's enough, you know, solid ball handlers and passers on this team, I think having that rim runner is a huge asset.
It'll be interesting to see how the passing separates Giles from Hartenstein, because for all intents and purposes, Giles is a better passer. I just based on the footage I've seen. I think that might be an issue too. Speaking of new guys, what new Clipper are you excited on? We're talking Winslow, Bledsoe, all the rookies. Like, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact for the Clippers?
I mean, biggest impact is probably going to be Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. I imagine he's going to be the second unit, you know, floor general. With Ty, you never know. I am almost guaranteeing that we're going to see games where he starts. Ty likes to see what he's got. He wants to put different combinations together. He uses the regular season to kind of play around a lot like that. But just given his ability, his wingspan, his, you know, he's a great finisher, better passer than Patrick Beverley. Defense is up and down in terms of like those two guys. And then, you know, he doesn't have the three ball, but I think his ability to set up that second unit is going to be huge. So, in terms of new faces, I think Bledsoe, the one I kind of get most excited about in terms of the signings, I kind of like Justice Winslow, man. Like if
he's been under the radar, dude, that's like because of his health, it's like, if he can stay healthy, he's going to have one of those Batum or Reggie seasons where it's like, oh shit. All right. Like, this is what happens when their values maximize. And that's what the Clippers have done with these recent signings, is figure out how to fully maximize their value.
Yeah. I apologize if this is a later question, but one of the things I keep thinking about is how young the Clippers have gotten this offseason.
It's such a weird, my brain still isn't used to it. I still think of us as an old team, which in terms of main contributors we are, but I'm happy that, you know, the guys who are going to be taking the time off the old guys aren't also older guys.
Absolutely. And it almost feels like, and you know, we could sit here and speculate and, you know, oh, what does this mean about Kawhi's availability? But
oh, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm sure we are, but you know, if, and again, we don't have much information on that, but if it does look like a season where Kawhi is going to miss the season or, you know, a vast majority of it, it really seems like this offseason the Clippers grabbed young guys who have had some issues, but with really high upside. And, you know, potentially this season could be, let's see what these guys have. We might lose a few. Some of them might not hit, but some of them will. So that when Kawhi and PG are back at full strength together, we have a good young core that can contend a little bit longer.
That's what's funny, is that I feel like the Clippers have done their draft strategy with free agents, which is, this guy has a bunch of upside and let's see if it works out, but with players who have actually shown in the NBA a little bit already, as opposed to guys who did it at like the University of Duluth or something like that. Yeah. So no disrespect to anyone here who went to the University of Duluth.
That would be me, actually.
Oh, wow. Now the people in Ohio and the Duluthians will hate us. Wrapping up this first segment really quick, who's your favorite rookie, and do you think any of them will see what is Ty Lue's version of consistent time with the Clippers this season?
I do think there's a potential of that for sure. I don't watch a lot of college hoops, unfortunately, so I don't have much of that background.
I don't think it's unfortunate. I think it's totally fine.
And a lot of the guys Clippers draft usually aren't on ESPN college games. So, but from what I saw in summer league, you know, each one of them has some upside, but I think the one that showed the most consistency and the most promise is Brandon Boston,
which is shocking, I'm hyped.
Yeah. And so I do think that there's a possibility that, you know, he actually gets some decent playing time.
He's got the big contract. Like, he's got that weird big contract. It's the biggest contract. What, that anyone other than like a European draft and stash is signed that late? Like, yeah, they believe.
Yeah. So I think of the three guys, he's really the one. And then, I mean, are you considering Jay Scrubb a rookie this year since he didn't really play last year?
I think you can. I think that's fair.
We've seen some athleticism from him. I think that he, especially being around the team for a season already, might get a longer leash in terms of the minutes that he gets and what he's allowed to get away with. And I think that there's a lot of potential there with Scrubb.
100%. I know. I was kind of confused last season. I'm like, give him the two-way so he can go play in the G League. But again, being around the team, it's invaluable. Coming up, we're going to be talking Brian's season expectations, who's going to take a leap, who has the most to prove. But first, we got to give a shout out to Sweatblock. Brian, you've sweat in your life before, right? Once or twice?
Never once.
Not a hard worker?
No.
Okay, well, Brian doesn't need Sweatblock. But if you sweat too much, you need it. It's not fun to sweat. We know this isn't the biggest issue in the world. There are much bigger problems going on. But let's be honest, in the moment, pouring sweat out of your body can feel like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, heavens forbid. I'd rather not worry about it. And that's why the people use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, dream your sweatless dreams. Next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat, guaranteed. No more pitting out, no more picking your shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code locked on. Or if you'd like to pay full price, go to Amazon or CVS. Brian, you don't sweat. Do you watch TV?
I do, because I don't sweat. I'm not out, so I watch a lot of television.
Those two things, that checks out. Well, let me give you a little hypothetical for you. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Whatever that may be for you, Brian. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right. Believe it or not, I actually said that fast. That was not computer-generated.
I'm very impressed by that. It's like, holy shit.
We're moving on to season expectations. Brian, this was a heated debate between Will and I on an episode, I believe, last week. We went to Clippers Twitter about it, and there's some very high expectations. What is a successful 21-22 Clippers season to you?
Yeah. The answer varies on Kawhi's availability, right? So
absolutely, totally fair. But let's pretend he's not here. Whole season.
I think the playoffs and getting out of the first round, I think that's a good season. I think that's successful. I mean, really, if we don't want to, like, if we're not talking about end of the season success, I think what I was talking about in the last segment and finding a couple of these guys that really hit and, kind of these young reclamation projects that the Clippers have picked up, I think hitting on a couple of those would make for a very successful season. Again, so much revolves around Kawhi, but him picking up 4 years on his contract this summer.
He's here.
It changes stuff. So it's no longer this like 1 year window. Is he going to opt out? It's, I really, again, back to those young signings, it feels like they are playing a longer game than just looking for the next summer, And so, yeah.
Well, because effectively, if you think about the roster, we're getting pretty much the exact same team after 21-22. Like there's not a whole, Mook, Kennard, Terrence is probably going to get an extension. Batum signed a 2-year. Reggie has the 2-year. Serge is probably going to come back, I would think, until he can't play anymore to be with Kawhi. Like PG, like the core is here for the next 2 years at minimum.
Yeah. So for me, in terms of like the tertiary things, a successful season would be hitting on a couple of these guys, getting that. I think it was it 2018 where Winslow had that amazing season in Miami
with the Heat. Yeah. He had two pretty good seasons in Miami.
Getting something like that, that's success to me because this team wants to compete for more than just one championship and hitting on a couple of these things. And maybe, it could be Brandon Boston being, what MPJ was for Denver a couple of years ago, like finding these little things to extend a window so that you have a few years to make it happen, I think would be, a huge success.
What do you see? Like, what's your, I don't know where to go with this next one because you brought up a lot of good points on that one. Do you care about seeding at all?
No, not particularly.
Even with the play-in? Because I'm of the ilk that, like, I don't care about seeding as long as we're not in the damn play-in. Because we are, I know we just kind of talked about how we got younger a little bit. We're still an older team core-wise. So I don't want any extra minutes with an already absurd schedule.
That's very fair. These are such hard questions to answer before a season has even played because, like,
oh yeah,
like my opinion on seeding also depends on the rest of the conference's seeding.
So the West has just, like, gotten better, which is why I think I'm just less, like, tethered to this idea of seeding being important. Where I'm like, every playoff team is going to be really hard to get past in the first round, like, no matter what, basically, unless you're a one seed.
Yeah,
is what it feels like to me.
Well, in the Dallas series, I think just completely beat, like, caring about home court advantage out of me watching the road team win almost every single one of those games. I was like, oh, this,
we. Well, when we had cardboard cutout fans and they had actual human beings in the stadium. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I really, you know, to go back to something I know that's been talked about a bunch, as long as they're third tenant in Staples Center, I don't think seating is really that big of an issue.
Right. That's a good call. Who's taken a leap this season? Who's taken, like, the kind of, we've talked about this before, we're gonna start doing Vorp watch during the season for Terrence Mann and for Justice Winslow, because for as good as Terrence Mann is, he was a 0.1 value over replacement player last season. So who do you think's taken a leap? Do you think it's going to be Terrence Mann again?
I don't. You know what Terrence Mann did in the playoffs, I think, is
right
about his ceiling, to be totally honest. So it's
39 hard. Points a game is a ceiling. I think we can all agree on that.
I mean, it's an expectation for sure. No, like I, you know, sure. Terrence doing that more consistently, you know, his second half of the season, seeing that throughout an entire season would be amazing. I'm going to go, this might be out of left field. I kind of feel like Luke Kennard might be the one to take the leap. I think he's going to,
people are forgetting about Luke.
Yeah, and especially with Kawhi out, they're going to need some more scoring. You know, we forget all the things that he's capable of doing. I'm kind of expecting, you know, a bigger role for Luke, and I think his points per game are going to go up. I think his minutes per game are going to go up. His usage rate is you know, I think definitely going to go up. I think Luke Kennard is going to take a big step, and the reason why so many Pistons fans were sad when he left, I think all that's gonna become very clear to Clippers fans this season.
I think he also has to.
Oh yeah, totally.
We're paying him enough money that he has to do that, and I don't even think most of it's on Luke. I think a fair amount of that is on Ty Lue, because we still don't fully understand what his role is going to be. He was this great scrappy player in the playoffs, but, like, we didn't bring Luke on and say, oh, this is what's going to happen now with Luke. Like, it was just like, well, what's going to happen with Luke? And that's no disrespect to Luke, but it's like there was no real plan except for spoon feed him when we want him to get hot.
Yeah, it does kind of feel, you know, with Rondo gone, who came over in the Lou Williams trade, that position, the
I actually,
you know,
don't remember that Lou, trade.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I don't blame you, but I think the void that, you know, Lou left with that, like, you know, bucket off the bench role that, you know, obviously Rondo was never going to fill. I think that's Luke. I think that's there for the taking. And I, you know, I think that could definitely be him this upcoming season.
Other than Luke, who do you got making a leap? Who do you think has the most to prove? I don't think it's PG. I think that was obviously him last year. I think we could see an MVP campaign from him. If the Clippers are a top four seed, I think he'll have to be playing at that level. But yeah. Who do you think has the most to prove the season? Is it also kind of Luke?
Could be. In terms of, like, bigger narratives with more national attention, I think it's Bledsoe.
Oh, I like the national attention aspect of that.
With, you know, if you look back at his career, you know, obviously with the Clippers, he was good, won out with the JJ trade. And then famously didn't want to be in Phoenix anymore via Twitter or the salon, wherever he was. But that was, you know, there were a couple years where he was great on that Phoenix team. And then the Milwaukee years were very disappointing in the playoffs. And there was a lot of talk about how he's not a postseason player. Granted, I think the role he had in Milwaukee is much larger than what he has, you know, here with the Clippers.
For sure.
And then there's last season, right? When Milwaukee shipped him out, he was with New Orleans, and he very much kind of seems like a player that doesn't want to try when he's not where he wants to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that the narrative that's really tarnished his personal career narrative. So I think there's a lot on him, you know, granted Kawhi again, whether or not the Clippers are contending kind of hinges on that, but coming to a team that's, you know, as talented as the Clippers are, that just got, you know, just came back from the Western Conference Finals, I think there's a lot for him to prove here. And you know, I also think we're going to see him compete and try to get into that starting role a little bit. We'll see.
Do you think, we only got a couple seconds for the next segment, do you think we'll see Reggie and Bledsoe starting together? Because that's something that I think people are kind of discrediting as a tinker possibility.
I mean, yeah, it's Ty, so yes, it's a possibility. I do think we see it. Like I said, like I think that we're going to see a little bit of everything, but I think at the end of the season, when they're really kind of honing in on what they want to do, you know, for a playoff run, I just don't think it makes enough sense. Again, things could completely change, but yeah, no, I don't know. I'd have to see some real success for me to fully buy into that.
Totally fair. Coming up, we're going to be getting Brian's most insane takes for the 2021 season, as well as some Kawhi speculation. But first, got to give a shout out to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Sir, why is your keychain so big? Sir, what are you doing here? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand the warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, from do-it-yourselfers to do-it-for-other-peoplers. They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on. And they're how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, welcome to Brian gives us his absolutely insane hot takes for the 2021 season. Brian, what is the most unhinged thing you strongly believe about the Clippers in this? Because there's a lot of people spouting some interesting things out there for what they think the Clippers could do this season. What's your most unhinged thought? about the Clippers.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, we're not. This isn't locked on existentialism yet.
Someday.
Yeah.
Man, most insane. I don't, you know, it's funny because on Clip Set during the regular season, we were doing hot take, not take. And I was in rhythm of getting some hot takes together, but I think I got a good one for you. This is conspiracy theory esque.
Put that tinfoil hat on.
I think Kawhi had the surgery much earlier than it was announced.
Oh,
that his return is a lot sooner than people think it's going to be.
The surgery thing makes sense because, like, so the prevailing theory right now, which I tend to kind of agree with, is that they waited to do the surgery until the swelling went down to an amount where the surgery could be fully done with no, like, you know, touch and go type vibes, like that kind of thing. Yeah, which makes sense. But also, would it have taken that long to the swelling to go down? Like from when the season ended to when it was announced? So I think that's a fair conspiracy theory. I think that's totally legit. I have a conspiracy theory. Remember that quote that was flying around about some anonymous NBA executive who said that Bledsoe was like as good as, like it was a top five point guard in the league?
Yeah.
I think that that was leaked by the Clippers to help gas up Eric Bledsoe, because he's a guy who obviously knows how social media works and is engaged with it. And I think that was a positive psyop on the Clippers front office part. Rare positive psyop.
That's good. I would buy that. I'm buying your conspiracy here. I'll give you one more, like more of a traditional hot take.
All right. We're here for conspiracy theories too.
I think the Clippers have home court advantage in the first round.
I've been saying that they'll be a top four seed. I don't think it'll be one because I think Utah is going to do that thing where it's like, oh, look at all these advanced stats, how good we are in the regular season. We're the number one seed. And everyone's going to be like, great. No one gives a shit about this. Like, yeah, you can have
Joseph on the show and discuss this.
I mean, so much of that hinges on the Clippers' first month and a half of the season. Yeah. We got to win like 80% of these home games.
Yes, you have to pad the win column because when you get to January, oof.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Even with this schedule, you think it's home court?
I think 4 seed is where they end up at the end of the season.
All right. I honestly, like 4 or 5, not mad at it at all. Totally okay. I'm so nervous for this season, if that makes sense. Like, I know Will talks about that we're kind of playing with house money because it's like, well, there's no Kawhi. So people already kind of have a cap on how far the Clippers can go without Kawhi for most of the season. But it feels like even though we ran everything back, there's so many new possibilities lineup-wise.
Yeah. I mean, this is – I keep saying it over at Clipset. This is going to be a tinkering tie special season.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be frustrated. Like, Will and I are trying to figure out what is going to frustrate Clippers fans a la the Reggie Luke Lou experiment from last season before the Lou trade. Like, I'm trying to figure out lineups that we're just going to – bang our heads against the wall when we see it. And I think we're going to see some 3-guard stuff again. That's going to be frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially with Bledsoe, who was part of a pretty successful 3-guard lineup in Phoenix.
Oh, damn. That's a really good point. You talked about Kawhi. When do you think Kawhi comes back? What's your take on this? Cause we haven't seen any pictures of him in a brace. He was in Hawaii without the brace. He was in a fantastic Clippers hoodie recently at Fashion Week, I believe. No brace. Like,
what's the first game of the season?
21st against the Warriors.
There's my answer, my man.
Boom.
Going off of my conspiracy theory, a lot of people have kind of thrown 9 months out there as like that's being optimistic. I think that we're going to see him like late February, early March.
All right. Do you think it depends on how the Clippers are playing?
Because
I think if the Clippers, like, if something is horribly not right, I can't see Kawhi being like, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. That could definitely play a role in it. Honestly, with Kawhi, even if they're, crushing it and it's like, if Kawhi joined this right now, like, they would be.
If Kawhi was healthy and we had this team, I would be like, who cares about the stupid Jazz regular season? We're going to be champions.
What I'm saying is like, if this team performs at its like highest, if they hit,
we got MVPG, we got Terrence Mann up like 15-7-3. We got Luke firing up like 18 a game or something like that. Yeah. Like
that's happening. And they're like, if Kawhi joins, it's guaranteed a championship. And Kawhi didn't feel 100%. I still think he would be like, I'm going to wait till I'm 100%.
Yeah. Kawhi is not going to rush anything.
Yeah, I mean Kawhi's playing for a career, So he takes that very seriously, and I think I'm sticking with March, and I don't think that anything will sway Kawhi to come back sooner than he is like 100% ready to come back.
Right. Yeah, his medical team is they're very thorough.
I also don't think we're gonna like know anything until it happens. Like
he's just gonna be there shooting around.
Yeah. I think we'll get him shooting around a little bit and there's going to be all this speculation, January he'll be on the court shooting and people are going to be like, ooh, Kawhi's returning. And then March like 17th, Ty's going to be like, yeah, Kawhi's playing tonight.
Yeah. He's going to be like, Tomer, to answer your initial question, Kawhi will be in the starting lineup
today. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. Shout out Tomer. I think that wraps this episode up, Brian. I think we're tapped out. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. We absolutely appreciate it. You're one of the best Clippers. You're technically a journalist, I guess. Shaking his head. Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a mailbag Wednesday. So send your questions at Lockdown Clips. Probably some Ty Lue talking. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Brian, where can these fantastic people find your and Joseph Fry Awards elite work covering the Clippers?
The Clipset podcast. Is anywhere you get podcasts. We are a completely listener supported show. So if you want to be part of that group, you get some, you know, early episodes, you get to join us for mailbag episodes. Like it, all of our mailbag episodes are curated by our patreon.com/clipsetpod. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at clipsetpod, myself at Brian S. Cullen, and my co-host Joseph Rye Ward at Joseph Rye Ward.
There you go. We thank you so much. Go review all of our podcasts over on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It helps both of us out quite a bit. Yeah, I have been Positive Chuck Mocker. This has been Brian. What was it? The Judge?
Judge, yeah.
Oh, Judge. Brian Judge Cullen. We'll get back with you guys on Wednesday. Have a good rest of your day. Oh, shit. I should probably click stop recording.